Amen. All right, if you've got a Bible or device that you read from, I'd like to ask you to turn to Matthew 21. Matthew 21. We're going to read verses 12 through 17. Matthew 21. If you don't have a Bible you can read or understand, there should be a Bible underneath your seat or close by. You can grab that Bible. That's our free gift to you. We want you not just reading the Bible here in this room, but every day. We talked about that last week. We're going through this series called The Path, right? And we're talking about, like, every year when we try to start out the new year, we want to try something new. But what if we went back to ancient biblical practices that were given to us for us to grow deeper in relationship with Jesus? So we talked about the necessity of being in relationship with the Bible. And now, today, we're going to talk about prayer. And that's how this service is going to look a little different, because we're talking about prayer. So Matthew 21, verses 12 through 17, if you're using the Bible underneath your seat, it's going to be page 591. Matthew 21, 12 through 17. This is what it says. Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out all the people buying and selling animals for sacrifice. He knocked over the tables of the money changers and the chairs of those selling doves, and he said to them, "The scriptures declare, my temple will be called a house of prayer, but you have turned it into a den of thieves." The blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. The leading priests and the teachers of religious law saw these wonderful miracles and heard even the children in the temple shouting, "Praise God for the Son of David." But the leaders were indignant. They asked Jesus, "Do you hear what these children are saying?" "Yes," Jesus replied. "Haven't you ever read the scriptures? For they say you have taught children and infants to give you praise." Then he returned to Bethlehem, where he stayed overnight. So over the summer, I went on vacation to Smith Lake with Bailey's family, and my father-in-law, Jim, he decided to rent a pontoon for us to get on the lake on. It was a great idea. As we're getting on the boat, anybody who knows me, I've got 1,000 lists in my head on what needs to be done before we leave the dock. You know, we've got 2 children, a 2-year-old and a 1-year-old, and I'm just thinking life jackets, snacks, sunscreen, all that. And I feel like I get all of that in order. I can breathe. I'm looking around. Everybody's safe. And I sit down, and I'm ready. And then Jim, he stands in the middle of the boat, and he extends his hands out, and he wants to lead us all in prayer. And so that's what we do when we pray. And it's a simple prayer for protection and to have fun. And out of all that I had in my head to be done before we left that dock, prayer was not on my list. And I'm ashamed of that. I'm ashamed of that. We pray in minuscule moments when prayer is a priority in our lives. We only pray in minuscule moments when prayer is a priority in our lives. And when Jesus, when he enters into the temple, he finds people who do not have a priority for prayer in their lives. And there's no sugarcoating it. Jesus gets angry. He gets angry. And the question is what would Jesus find here? What would Jesus find in our own hearts? Would he find people who are consistent, who are expectant, who are passionate, and who are desperate for prayer, who even pray in insignificant moments, like before you leave the dock on a boat? Or would he find people who are quick to say, "I'm praying," but they don't utter a word? What would Jesus find? In August, we did a 5-week sermon series on prayer. And we tried to be as informative as possible on how to pray. And I did not think it would be fruitful for us to just have another Sunday where we talked about prayer. Jesus says when he enters into the temple, he says, "This place, this temple, will be called a house of prayer. It will. Not that I hope that it one day that it will become that. Not that I desire for that. He said, it will be called a house of prayer. Y'all, I want prayer to be a priority in my life. I desire for prayer to be a priority in this church. And how do we allow prayer to become a priority in our lives? And the only answer I could come up with is by praying. So this morning, we are going to do a lot of praying together as a church. But before we do that, we're going to prepare our hearts. So I'm going to ask y'all to stand. We're going to worship together, and we're just going to go through different prayers. So,
as the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. I'm here and I know you will feel me. Spirit, when you move, you make my heart. When you feel the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will feel me.
As the Spirit was moving over the water, the Spirit come move over us. Over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us.
Fire and wind, come and do it again. Open up the gates and heaven on in. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. Fire and wind, come and do it again. Come rest on us, come rest on us. Come down, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pop. When you feel the room, you're here and I know you're moving. I'm here and I know you'll feel me. Come down, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pop. When you feel the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you are feeling.
Holy Spirit, come rest on us. You're all we want. You're all
Y'all go ahead and be seated. If we're going to start with prayer, what better way to start than with the prayer that Jesus gave us? I mean, what if we started every morning with the words that he spoke? Inner Room is this app that I'm going to talk about later on today, but it helps create rhythms of prayer in our lives. And what we're going to do together right now is we're just going to listen to a guide that this app gives us. So what I'm going to ask y'all to do is just close your eyes, get comfortable, get in a position of prayer, and just listen and allow this app to walk you through the Lord's Prayer.
One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one."
As you pray the Lord's Prayer, allow each line to be thematic, adding your own words to Christ's words.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
To hallow means to set aside as holy. We open our prayers with adoration because by worship we enter into the true reality of God's identity and our own. Hallow his name. You may want to recognize the blessings in your life today through a psalm, singing worship, sitting in silence. Spend a moment recognizing God as holy.
Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Releasing our own control, we ask for God's kingdom in our midst. What are you currently wrestling for control over? Name it and release it to God. Think of friends outside of relationship with Jesus, needs in your city, or the global world, professional, social or personal situations, and even emotions within yourself. Anywhere and everywhere you know God's kingdom of love and peace is lacking, ask for Jesus to come.
Give us today our daily bread.
Pray for what you need and want today. Nothing is too big or too small to him. Just ask. Honor him by bringing your ordinary requests, knowing he treasures those too.
Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors.
Invite the Holy Spirit to search you, uncovering areas of sin in your life. Ask God for forgiveness, assured that His grace forever outpaces your failure. And as you receive His forgiveness, also invite Him to help you recognize resentments. Forgive others by the same grace you've received.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
We join with God at the most cosmic level, praying against the tragic consequences of the fall and for the ongoing work of redemption. Recognize the traces of evil, both within you and the world around you. Pain, sickness, injustice, poverty. In its place, ask for God's deliverance, for comfort, healing, justice, provision.
For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Y'all stand and sing with me.
Come back.
as Jesus, yeah, I could tell if I was on or not. So before Jesus clears the temple, in chapter 21, if you still got it open, you see that he has this triumphant entry into Jerusalem. People are praising and shouting him. And some believe that he is reenacting this moment from the Old Testament where David is inaugurated as king. And what David does in that moment is he takes this inaugural act that's supposed to be all about him, and he uses it to bring God's presence back into the center of God's people. So Jesus, when he makes this entry, he walks outside of the city walls, past the streets where all these palm branches are lining, and he walks into the temple so that he can bring God's presence back into the center of God's people. We spend a lot of time and a lot of focus trying to make this place look and feel like a church, when really we should spend our time and focus trying to make this place look and feel like God's kingdom. Look at the temple. Look what happens after Jesus enters. I mean, the lame, the blind, and the lost, they're being healed. I mean, there's praise, there's healing, there's miracles. The temple has become the kingdom. The temple has become the kingdom. The church should reflect God's kingdom. And when we lose sight of that, Jesus says that we might become a den of thieves. And the question is what's being robbed from us? If we are a den of thieves, is it healing? Is it true worship? What's being robbed from our communities? Is it a place where people belong? Is it a place where people feel loved? What's being robbed? What I want us to do is I want us to start praying about how this place can reflect God's kingdom. And we do that by having a conversation with God. There's going to be a picture on the screen. This is a famous painting by this man named Andrea Rublev. It's Rublev's icon. Y'all might have got a sheet. I hope you got a sheet. You've got that with you. So this is a very famous painting. And what this is interpreted as is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit sitting together at a table. And it's become so famous because you can see that they're all equal, they're all unified, and in community with one another. But what is so interesting about this painting is, if you're looking on it, there's an open seat right at the front. And that open seat is available for us. And Brian Collier, the lead and founding pastor of the Orchard family, he challenged us at a staff meeting one day to find our way to that table to have a conversation. And when he did that, when I closed my eyes, I had this picture of this giant room, and just in the middle was this table, and there sat the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Before I could even speak, I had to make my way and sit down at this table. So I'm going to challenge y'all to do the same thing. I'm going to ask y'all to close your eyes. And I want you to find your way to that table. And understand that once you sit down, that you have the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit's undivided attention, to where you can talk to him about anything. I'm going to lead us in some topics of conversation to have at that table. While you're there, let's talk about healing. At the table, ask what is in your heart that is keeping you from experiencing the kingdom. Maybe it's unbelief, fear, unforgiveness, anger, pride. Maybe it's more than one. Whatever is being brought to the surface, ask for that to be mended and healed. We want to be people of prayer, and for that to happen, our hearts need to reflect God's kingdom. So ask what in your heart is keeping you from from experiencing the kingdom and ask for that to be mended and healed. Take a couple minutes. At the table, talk about the lost. God has placed people in our lives that are far from Him. They're lost and unreached. Just pray for people to be brought up in your life who've never experienced a relationship with Jesus. Pray for those people. Talk about how you can invite them into a relationship with Him so that more of God's kingdom will spread. Who are the people that are being brought up? And how can you invite them into a relationship with Him? Lastly, for our community, we never want to forget the communities that surround us. We want to be a place that reflects God's kingdom throughout our communities. So at the table, ask how you can help this place be a place of healing, praise, rejoice, and belonging. Not just for us, but for the people outside of these doors. How can we be a place of healing, praise, rejoice, and belonging? We're going to continue in worship, and I'm just going to ask you all to stay seated as we go through this next song. And if you need to continue in prayer, continue in prayer. Maybe there's completely different things that are being brought up in your own heart. Continue to pray for those. If you want to stand, you can stand. If you want to stay seated, stay seated. If you want to pray for anything, I'll be over here. Let's just continue in prayer and worship.
Sorrow carries the pain of His children. sings a song of sweet forgiveness, who stole the keys to hell and the grave.
It's interesting that when Jesus is done clearing the temple, the children are the ones who praise and worship him. They're grateful for who he is and the kingdom that he brings with them. And I was reading a commentary, and it said that often children speak truths that adults can't understand. But I think it's better to say that often children speak truths that adults have often forgotten. I was in student ministry, and we went on a summer mission trip. And at the end of every day, we would all gather together. All the students that were there would gather in this big room. And we did this thing that we called Yay Gods. I know, it's a little cheesy, but that's what we did. I'm about to explain what that is. It was just this segment of the night where everybody would reflect their day. And they would just say out loud all the moments where they just witnessed God's presence, his goodness, his provision, his grace. And you just said it out loud for everyone to hear. So I want us to think back over this morning, over this week, over the month, this past year that we've had. Where has God been just gracious? Where has God just shown that he cares not even about the big things, but the little things? The inner room out says it helps us keep a child mindset when approaching prayer. And it says, what if we approach a prayer of gratitude by saying it would have been enough? For example, a prayer being, God, it would have been enough for me to wake up healthy this morning. But actually, I woke up with heat, with running water, next to a loving and supportive wife, with two children who are breathing. You know, it would have been enough to wake up healthy, but you just went above and beyond. Above and beyond. What if we tried to pray with childlike minds instead of our cynical, jaded minds of an adult? What have we forgotten? I think we've forgotten how to have a prayer of gratitude. a simple thank you. So this may be the most awkward thing we do. I'm going to open the floor. I'm going to give you all a minute to just think through your day and your week. And I just want to open the floor for anyone who just has a prayer of gratitude. I would just love to hear some good news. Just a moment in your life or this past year or this morning that you've just want to say, hey, this is, thank you, God. I don't care if it's for the sunshine, for 8 hours of sleep, for 4 hours. I don't care. But I just would love to hear some good news. So I'm going to give you all a minute to think and pray through that, and then just open the floor at your seat. This is an open mic night, but just where you are. So just give a minute, just reflect on that, think about that. Anybody got anything? Gratitude? It's okay if we sit in silence. We've got a worship song after this, so y'all are going to be rescued. Yeah, no COVID. That's right. And you lived with COVID for a week. And Billy's healthy. Good job. Oh, my goodness. Anybody got anything else? It's awesome. Yeah. All right. There is good news. You know, Jesus is working, and he will work, and he'll always work in our lives, and we can hold on to that. So I am going to ask y'all to stand, and we're going to sing one more song.
my words fall short. I got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do. Every song must end, but you never do. So I throw up my hands,
praise you again and again. 'Cause
all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, I've nothing else fit for a king, except for heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. I've got one response, I got just one move. In my arms stretch wide, I will worship you. So I throw up my hands,
praise you again and again. All that I have is a
hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. So I throw up my hands, thank you.
Y'all can be seated. We can't say it every Sunday, but we can say it today. Today we were a house of prayer. We were people of prayer. You know, and this is the beginning of bringing God's presence back into the center of our own hearts. And we can continue this practice and this rhythm of prayer in our lives. I've been talking about that inner room app, and y'all, it really is. It's been very beneficial. It's an app that y'all can download, and what it does is it notifies you three times throughout the day. Three times. In the morning, in the midday, and in the evening. And in the morning, it walks you through what we walk through, the Lord's Prayer. In the midday, it walks you through a prayer for the lost. In the afternoon, in the evening, it walks you through a prayer for gratitude. And wouldn't it be great if we all downloaded this and you could set a timer on it? Mine are 9 a.m., noon, and 6. And 60-plus people are not only praying here, but at our homes, at our jobs, at restaurants, as we do live praying together. So I encourage y'all to download that app, and I'll send in, there'll be instructions on our socials this week on how to set the reminders on that. But the last thing I want to do, on the count of three, I just want us all to say amen. Y'all with me? 1, 2, 3. Amen. Thank y'all so much. We meet here every Sunday at 10:30. Y'all have a great week.